Big Blue Door is a theater group devoted to true stories, long-form improv, and comedy writing. From 2012 to 2015, Big Blue Door produced a live monthly show called The Big Blue Door Jam, where people shared 6 to 8 minute true stories inspired by monthly themes. This story was told by Michael Cole in December of 2013. The night's theme was The Kids Are All Right.
All right, so in the time that my wife and I have been together, which is kind of a while, I've gotten really comfortable with her family. What that means is I kind of get to be the ornery kid that I never was with my own family. And most of the time, that's just me being kind of a weirdo, a lovable weirdo, but just kind of weird. But sometimes I cause trouble for her entire family. Thing is, it's things I would never do around my own family or how I would act around my own family. It's a very safe space. Typically, on my own, I'm, you know, very detailed, have to have a plan for everything, play it safe, don't do anything out of the ordinary. And that's something that's especially true when I'm traveling. I make sure I have a plan, I make sure I do everything. So obviously this is gonna be a time where I'm with her family and throw all that out the window. So shortly after we got married, her father, Rick, offered to take me, her sisters on a trip to Germany. He had spent some time there when he was in the army. My wife Rose had been born there and they still had some family over there. And he had all these memories of the times he had spent there when he was much younger. Turns out he was probably pretty drunk most of that time, so his memories didn't really hold up when we got over there, but we went along with it for the most part. So we all booked our trips, we went over, and we had a perfectly fine trip. Visited, you know, different parts of Germany and Austria and other places in the area. It was pretty uneventful, but nice, a pretty typical tourist week over there. The end of our trip happened to correspond with the beginning of Oktoberfest that year, and that was another thing that he remembered as being really great. So since we were flying out of Munich, we planned to travel to the city that day and go visit Oktoberfest. We found out when we got there, he didn't remember this, obviously. The first like couple days are the worst time to go. It's really, really crowded, extra rowdy, and the crowd's mostly like teenagers and 20-something-year-olds that are very, very drunk. So we were all having a pretty bad time. But we were there, we did it, we went and waited in lines, sat in tents, and started drinking a lot, or at least I did. During all this, my wife's stepmother, Joan, disappeared. It's kind of her thing, she just wandered off. We don't really know what happened. So we were forced to sit there for like another hour or two while she was gone, and there was nothing else to do except, I guess, continue to drink. And it wasn't something that we decided to do, and it turns out no one else was really on board for this except for me and Rose, my wife's dad, who's a lot bigger than me. He's a pretty big guy and most likely an alcoholic. And he just kept ordering drinks, and I just kept drinking. So I didn't really think about it, just went along with it. And it's not that he pressured anyone, but he can be kind of a bully. And I didn't really think about it. I didn't think about anything. I just drank with him. So, you know, we're there for 3-4 hours probably drinking. And at this time, I mean, it happened before, but I really had to use the restroom. So I got up and left. At this point, Joan, my stepmother, still wasn't back. I got up, left, went to the restroom. I did make it back because I'm still here, but I don't remember making it back, so we're going to jump to immediately later for me. I wake up in a really weird makeshift hospital that's a tent surrounded by German people. And not just German people, like German 13-year-olds. And, you know, I think to myself, wow, they seem in really bad shape. But then I consider that a little bit more, and I'm like, 23 at the time, and they're all 13, and it's like, no, I'm just as bad, if not worse. So I wake up, I'm feeling really, really good, which seems kind of weird, and I look down, I've got an IV in my arm. That's a glucose IV, which is something they administer to you if you're really, really drunk. Turns out that's really great. It instantly sobers you up. I felt fantastic. So I sit there for a little while, get a little more acclimated to my surroundings, and start talking to the staff that's around and helping me. The nurse comes over, asks me, you know, how I got there, how I was so drunk, what happened. The only thing I could come up with, and it was a real flimsy story, I told her that my wife's stepmother, Joan, had got lost. We were all really upset and distraught, and we just drank too much. It was one of those things I could tell looking at her as I told her that she didn't buy it at all, but I didn't have anything better, so I stuck with that and told her that and just went with it. And around me, you know, I'm seeing all these 13-year-old boys waking up. Their phones have been ringing for 20 minutes. Their parents don't know where they are. It's a mess in there, but I'm feeling good. I'm talking with the staff. And then they finally did say, okay, you can go. They do let me know that I'm their best patient of the day. And she told me I didn't really need medical attention, which made me feel really, really good and meant nothing to any of my wife's family. But anyways, so after that, I leave. I pay what seems like a pretty reasonable, like, 90 € fee, and basically go skipping out to the waiting room where my wife's sitting and waiting for me. She's not nearly as happy as I am at this point, not feeling so good. Hadn't just come off like a nap and a glucose IV. And so I tell her about that, and the glucose IV thing, she does not care about that at all, about how great that is, that makes you feel better. I try to share this information, like, no, I'm feeling really, really good. No, it goes nowhere. So at this point, she fills me in on what had happened in the past 3 hours, which to me, this. Worst case, we're looking at like 30 minutes was my thoughts coming out of this. No, it had been like 3 hours. So during this time, after I left for the restroom, I came back after a really long time and was noticeably really, really drunk to her entire family. About the same time her stepmother came back, she had just been off looking at horses or something. It's kind of, it's her style. It was, no one really cared. She showed back up. So we immediately left. We go outside, and I get sick on what Rose tells me is appropriately nicknamed Vomit Hill, and pass out. An Australian news crew comes by and films us on the dangers of overdrinking at Oktoberfest. And multiple old German men come and talk to my wife and her family in broken English and point out how blue my face and hands are. Kind of making everyone think I'm probably going to die or dead. And during that time, my wife's stepmother, Joan, goes and finds the Red Cross tent, and I'm carried across the entire grounds on a stretcher, adding even more embarrassment to everyone there. After that, we all have to, because of this, I've made us all late to our train out of town, so we all have to run to the train station to catch our train. Actually, not that big of a problem for me. Again, I'd just woken up from like a 3-hour nap and had been medically sobered. So I jog there, no problems at all. Everyone else is just fed up and tired at this point. So we barely make it. We get back in time. Everything works out okay. The positive of this story is my wife's father stopped drinking after this. I like to think me being an idiot's partially responsible for that. And I didn't die there, and it gave my wife something to hold against me for a really long time after this. Thanks.
For more true stories, visit teej.fm. That's teej.fm. For classes in storytelling and upcoming story shows, visit bigbluedoor.org.